Digital coin offerings are everywhere, but the real story is the blockchain technology behind them.
That's something that in time is potentially as big a technological revolution as the internet.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. If you watch either financial news or celebrity news, you may have heard the term initial coin offering lately. Let's start with a quick definition from Kevin Werbach, a professor at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School.
So an initial coin offering, it's an ICO, like an IPO, is when instead of offering stock to raise money, a company offers digital tokens.
ICOs are the hot new thing in startup fundraising and apparently celebrity gambling. Paris Hilton and boxer Floyd Mayweather are both investing in initial coin offerings. ICOs are basically phase two of the Bitcoin bubble. They have raised, according to some estimates, nearly $2 billion. One or two of the names involved might sound familiar. The social media site Kick is offering a coin called KIN. For you fans of the TV show The Office, it might also sound familiar. Remember when that character, Dwight Schrute, offered Schrute Bucks?
This is a Schrute Buck. When you have done something good, you will receive one Schrute Buck. 1,000 Schrute Bucks equals an extra 5 minutes for lunch.
What is the cash value of a Schrute Buck?
Excellent question, Pam. 1/100th of a cent.
To be honest, ICOs aren't that different. The tech is better than Schrute Bucks printed on paper, but these tokens only have value because all the people involved agree that they have value. And right now, there aren't a lot of rules around ICOs. The Securities and Exchange Commission has determined that a lot of these tokens are essentially securities, so U.S. regulators are increasing their scrutiny. In fact, China banned ICOs completely earlier this month. But do they have lasting potential as a form of investment? Here's Werbach again.
These are cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin or Ethereum, so they can be traded on an exchange potentially for other currencies, but potentially they can also be used to access the company's service and create a kind of virtual economy for the company.
How do these cryptocurrencies compare to something like Bitcoin? I mean, are they created with the same rigor?
Well, Bitcoin was the first cryptocurrency, and there have been a number of others since then. Bitcoin was actually designed to be a currency like cash. It was designed as something you could use to buy things. Most of these cryptocurrencies for the ICOs are special purpose tokens that are being created just for this application. And the bulk of them, especially recently, are built on top of other platforms. So most of the ICOs that you see use currencies that are built on top of other currencies.
How should an investor decide what token to invest in, what ICO to take part in? Because wouldn't you just end up with a portfolio of tokens that are not interoperable?
Sure. Well, so the first thing to say is that it's important not to just see this in terms of investment opportunities. So one of the big issues here, and one of the reasons there's been such explosive growth, is that companies are offering these tokens without any regulation to investors anywhere around the world. And that's part of the reason that they're raising so much money. But the reality is, if what you're doing is fundamentally offering investors in legal terms is called a security, you're basically doing the same thing that a startup is doing in offering stock to people, then fundamentally that should be regulated the same way as a traditional security. There should be requirements that you disclose information that investors might need to know, that you not be fraudulent in what you tell investors, and so forth. So right now we're in this in-between situation where, frankly, there are some of these ICOs that are ultimately going to get regulated. There's some of them that won't. There's some of them that are actually quite different, where the primary goal is not investment as a passive investor, but actually to create users and to create a community around an application and to help it grow. And those things, what we call utility tokens typically, are probably not going to be subject to the same regulation, but it just takes time for regulators around the world to grapple with this, and they're trying to be careful not to stop the innovation. So that's by way of background. If you're thinking about this as an investor, you're right. There's a lot of uncertainty. There are now dozens or even hundreds of these ICOs. There's not a lot of information. They're tremendously speculative. In theory, the value of the coin should be related to the success of the company. So if the service involved gets more users and becomes successful, then that should drive the value of the currency. The problem is right now, most of these services haven't even been built. So investors are just betting on the future of this whole cryptocurrency market as a whole.
Would it be safe to say that, particularly in the case of these utility tokens, that it's essentially just a really fancy form of Kickstarter? People aren't buying equity per se, right? They're just hoping that the value of the token will go up.
Well, it's more than that. So the first point is you do get a token, which if it's listed on an exchange, you can trade for other cryptocurrencies or potentially even for things like dollars. So that is different. It's not the same as equity, but it does mean it has some independent value. But the real potential is, again, that they create these token economies. So if you're a startup that wants to grow your business, it's hard to get to critical mass. So for example, a company that's doing one of these ICOs, a company called Brave that wants to monetize attention. They want to deal with the online advertising problem. And the idea is, wouldn't it be great if you could get paid to look at carefully selected personalized ads and they would block everything else? And then they could use the same tokens with currency coming in from the advertisers to pay publishers to host ads. But it's very hard to start that up from scratch because their network effects and all of the existing systems. So they've offered a token and they made it available as an ICO. And you know, the idea behind this is that eventually this will get a large number of users who now have the token, have an interest in the system, want to see it grow, and they've immediately got this base of users. So that's the potential here, which is something very different than a Kickstarter. But again, I have to keep cautioning that you know, so much of this is really unproven. And a lot of the investors that are buying these tokens, even the Brave token, are probably just doing it because they heard that this is some hot opportunity to make money.
Yeah, I mean, certainly when you hear about the celebrity ICO, Floyd Mayweather and Mike Tyson and Paris Hilton, I have to think at some point they're just gambling, right?
Yeah, it's gambling and in some ways even worse because gambling is regulated and people generally understand what gambling is and they understand the fact that they are gambling. That's one reason that, again, regulators are looking at this. It's also a reason that the responsible actors in the system, the companies that are very serious and have very sophisticated technology they want to use this fundraising mechanism for, and their lawyers and the venture capitalists that are working with them, they've put together a number of frameworks to try to provide some better governance and some better information for investors and so forth. So I think eventually this moment we're in right now is going to pass and there'll be a much better understanding. But it's true. Right now, clearly, there are a lot of people who are just speculating and getting into things they don't really understand.
And we know that China apparently has banned ICOs. Do you think that that's a direction we might be headed as the sort of regulatory environment takes a harder look at this?
So the U.S. regulator, the primary regulator here is the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission. They have issued a statement looking at one of the ICOs or something we now call an ICO was done a year ago, which failed. It got hacked, as it turned out. And they said that one actually should have been regulated as a security. They decided not to do anything because it had already been shut down and the money had been returned. But they did draw a line there where they said, look, this is exciting. There's a lot of potential here. We don't want to stop innovation. We want to allow people to invest in ways that they understand. We want to allow companies to make money and raise money in new ways. And we want to allow these new kinds of economies to grow. But we have to make sure that our public policy goals are met. So the SEC and frankly, most of the major world regulators outside of a few places like China and to some extent Russia have taken a kind of wait and see approach where they're starting to put into place some guidelines and trying to nudge the industry to an understanding that some of these things are going to be regulated. And if they are fraudulent, which is the reality that some of these things are just scams, then they're going to go after and enforce against them. But sure, it's true. Some countries like China have said, we're concerned about this. Now China has a different set of concerns. They are very worried about money leaving the country and about money that they can't control. So the possibility of these ICOs raising lots of money and moving it outside of China, outside of their currency, into these cryptocurrencies is something that their government is much more concerned about than, for example, the United States.
For people who aren't investing in this, for people who aren't that heavily involved in the cryptocurrency universe, but keep hearing a lot of news about it, why should they care?
I'm not sure that they should care as much as they probably are with all the headlines about the initial coin offerings. It's a really interesting new opportunity for startups raising money and for new services trying to grow. But really what ordinary people should care about is the underlying technology here. The ICOs are just one use of these cryptocurrencies. And even the currencies themselves are just one major application of this fundamental technology, which is called the blockchain or distributed ledger technology. And that's something that in time is potentially as big a technological revolution as the internet, because it's a distributed platform for information, which can be applied to almost anything. However, it's going to take time to unfold. Much of it, at least in the near term, is going to be behind the scenes. It's a kind of technology infrastructure. So people may not see it directly, but it's going to affect things that really apply to all of daily life.
And it seems like in the short term, it's safe to say that some people are going to make a lot of money and some people are going to lose a lot of money, right?
You know, that's always the way it is, You know, for better or worse. And you know, bubbles are not inherently bad because they attract a lot of capital and they attract a lot of really smart people chasing that capital. But people do get hurt. And again, this is what I think the regulators and the responsible private actors are thinking a lot about now and trying to figure out solutions to. You know, how to avoid all of this being tarred as just a scam and just gambling, and potentially that spilling over to people rejecting the underlying technology.
That was Kevin Werbach of the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. Now, the potential of blockchain is that it can introduce speed, efficiency, and trust into almost any transaction. All the activity or trading can be seen and verified by everyone, and it's decentralized, which means that no one company or person controls that information. So let's say one company does some work. A piece of blockchain software can track that work and then automatically pay the company with no humans in the middle to get corrupted or confused. So if ICOs are phase two of the Bitcoin bubble, the next phases are just getting started. Marketplace Tech is produced by Stephanie Hughes. Jake Gorski engineers the program and created that theme music you all love so much. Kristen Schwab is our intern and person on the street interviewer extraordinaire. And John Gordon is our interim managing editor. I'm Molly Wood. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.